When we talk about climate change, you'll often hear about melting polar ice caps, potential crop failures, but climate change might also be a contributing factor behind public health issues to come.
Our next guest says that warming temperatures could impact the way deadly diseases spread, including ones that we haven't seen in decades. Joining us now is Mona Sarfati. She's the director of the Program on Climate and Health in the Center for Climate Change Communication at George Mason University. Mona, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
You recently wrote about this issue of climate change and public health in The Guardian, and you started with a pretty startling example about the way climate change can impact diseases that may have been eradicated or not seen in that area ever before. And this was a case of anthrax in northern Russia. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, usually the ground in that part of the world, which is above the Arctic Circle, is permanently frozen. And due to unusually high temperatures, the permafrost melted and exposed a carcass of a caribou that had died 75 years ago that was infected with anthrax. Some people who lived in the area and other caribou were exposed to that thawed body and became ill. So one little boy and his grandmother died. Others became sickened. And about 2,300 caribou also were affected.
Now, normally that caribou we're talking about, that would have been frozen. This would not have been a possibility for exposure, right?
In that part of the world where the ground is permanently frozen like that, they have not seen anthrax since the 1940s.
How do you look at that example and see it as maybe a cautionary tale about what might be coming next when we think about climate change and public health?
Well, people were most concerned about melting permafrost because of the methane, which is caught in that permafrost. And when the ground melts, they were concerned that methane gas would be released, which is more potent than carbon dioxide, and that it would speed the warming of the atmosphere. They were not really concerned about this risk of anthrax from a thawing corpse. As a result, this is quite an interesting example of how unexpected consequences can occur as we face these new environmental conditions.
It sounds as though this is a case where there are still a lot of unknowns. We don't know exactly how climate change will affect the planet, but are there flashpoints that scientists are looking at it as possible places to focus energy and resources?
Well, we know that warming air will hold more moisture, and so we are seeing much larger amounts of rainfall with rain events. We're having more extreme rain events. That's causing flooding in many places, and then the flooding is overwhelming the capacity of the stormwater drain systems to get rid of the water. So the water hangs around, causes mold growth. People who are allergic to mold can have problems with that. And then, of course, that standing water can breed vectors, mosquito vectors, and can also mix with sewage, which can then taint foodstuffs, crops that can expose people to more sources of infection. Or, of course, get into the lakes that they swim in, and then that can also expose people to infection.
Now, you mentioned mosquitoes, and the Zika virus has been a big source of concern over the last year or so. And one big question there is, how might climate change affect the migration of that mosquito and where we might see cases of the Zika virus?
The Zika virus, up to this point, has been carried only by two species of mosquitoes, Aedes aegypti and Aedes albopictus. Neither of those are resident in Wisconsin, but they are resident in a large swath across the southern part of the United States. And so any place that those mosquitoes are there, people could potentially be exposed to Zika. And, of course, recently we have seen a spread from within the Miami area to outside the Miami area, and some cases have even popped up here in Maryland, which is very close to where I am, because of sexual transmission of somebody who was carrying Zika and then passed it on that way.
When we think about climate change in terms of maybe a longer growing season, warmer temperatures, is it likely, do you think, that mosquitoes could move farther north and even those affected populations could show up here?
Well, you know, it's hard to predict exactly what will happen, but we can say what's likely. And the likely outcome is that there will be more people who will be exposed in the areas where those two mosquitoes are resident. So we don't think that there's about to be a major epidemic nationwide in the U.S., but this is definitely something that needs to be followed carefully.
How seriously are scientists beginning to take climate change right now as a real public health concern?
We know that people are being affected today because of environmental conditions that have been affected by climate change. I've got a couple of quotes from physicians in Wisconsin that responded to a survey that we did a couple years ago. And the allergists who we surveyed in particular felt that they were seeing more cases of allergy exposure and allergy symptoms in Wisconsin. One said that more patients were experiencing winter mold symptoms. And another felt that there was definitely a change in the seasonality of the allergy symptoms. And we have a quote from a doctor in Michigan who said that he used to see mold allergies stop entirely in December. And now, because of the warmer winters, his patients with mold allergy were having symptoms for a longer period of time. The other thing is that hot air tends to cause more ozone formation. The ozone is actually the result of the warmth and the light coming into contact with emissions from smokestacks or from tailpipes. And when more ozone forms, that raises that pollutant in the local air, and people who have any kind of a lung condition at all are likely to have more symptoms. So people who have chronic lung disease or asthma, or even if the ozone level gets high enough, just people who are trying to be active outdoors are likely to feel the consequences of that. And we know that that's happening today in the United States. And of course, as it becomes warming, there's the potential for more of that to occur.
And Dr. Sarfati, as we wrap up here, what are some initial steps that you think are needed to get a jump on these public health threats posed by climate change before they really take hold?
Well, we have to be very cognizant of what we're putting into the air because we've already essentially overloaded it with these gases, greenhouse gases. So decreasing the amount of greenhouse gas that we put into the air by increasing the amount of energy that comes from clean sources rather than fuel sources is the way that we can best prevent more consequences from climate change. We also need to be really aware of who's being affected by the health impacts of climate change, who's most vulnerable, so that we can protect them. And there are some communities that are more vulnerable because of the air that they breathe or the number of plants that are pollen producing.
And we have to leave it there. Dr. Sarfati, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Mona Sarfati, the director of the Program on Climate and Health in the Center for Climate Change Communication at George Mason University, talking about climate change and public health.